Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says, "because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, and that's a prayer from Psalm 25. My guest again today is my friend Robin Davis, wife of a professor at Gordon Conwell Seminary in Hamilton, Massachusetts, mother of five, and homeschooler. Robin, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a joy to be here.
We were talking about some of these things that people say to you, like, I don't have enough patience to homeschool, or I don't have a degree, or I'm not smart enough, or my kids wouldn't obey me. Do you have a real short answer for all of those?
I think you need to work on those areas anyway, whether you homeschool or not.
You don't have to have a degree.
You certainly don't.
A special teaching degree in order to homeschool.
You don't. In fact, there was a study done that showed there was a very weak correlation between the mother's education level and children's academic achievement, which means that basically it didn't really matter if the mother didn't have a high level of education herself. She still can teach her own children. This was a study just of homeschool families. So that should be encouragement for maybe a mom out there who's a high school graduate, that she can learn right along with her children, and you'll all do fine.
It's kind of reminds me of the old adage, those that can do and those that can't teach. So the mother, in a sense, is just doing all these things with her children, and the teacher who has the PhD may not necessarily be nearly as apt a teacher. As Ad, my husband, used to say, a PhD doesn't tell you anything at all about how much a person knows. It just tells you how long they've gone to school. Well, another question that I'm sure is uppermost in the minds of any who might be listening who are considering homeschooling, what do you use for a curriculum, Robin?
Well, the encouraging news is that there is a wonderful assortment of curriculum materials out there, and it just seems to be growing by the year. In fact, sometimes a new homeschooler might feel like they're a victim of overchoice. How can I possibly decide? The best thing to do is to find some other homeschoolers in your area. Find a support group, go to some meetings, find out what other people in your area are using and are pleased with, and actually look at the materials. It's best not to order things sight unseen, but to actually see the things and talk to the mom and find out how much time does it take to use a particular curriculum, how much preparation is involved ahead of time. Is it something that you're going to have to go to the library and do a lot of research ahead of time, or can you just sit down that morning and open it up and use it? So you have to know your own style of how much work you really want to put into it ahead of time. And then just try and find out what's out there.
I had experience with the Calvert course, which was one of the very few homeschooling mm-hmm. courses, and had been used, I guess, for 100 years or more with people who were with the military and embassies and people who lived overseas and couldn't put their children in American schools. And up through the third grade, at least, I would say you didn't have to know anything at all except how to read, because they told you even the words to say. I mean, everything was there. So I would suppose there are some courses like that where you wouldn't really have to do any research on your own. It would be available.
There are. And so you don't need to know, for example, even what phonics is in order to teach it. The materials out there are just so great, and they almost tell you where to inhale and exhale.
Now, you suggested that people contact homeschooling group or other homeschoolers. Can you suggest how they might find them?
I think if you can just find one homeschooling family, just start asking them questions. And usually there is either a state or a local homeschool support group. We have a state organization, and then we have a local group that has, you know, 50 or more families who are part of it. And we have monthly meetings. So I think if I can't be specific, because the listeners would be all over.
But maybe if you went to your local library, the librarian would certainly know something about who the homeschoolers are, because they'd be coming in at very odd times, wouldn't they?
I think that's a good suggestion.
Is that a possibility?
Or, in fact, you could call maybe even the local superintendent and find out who's homeschooling in your area.
The superintendent of schools?
Of schools, of public schools. They might be able to connect you with someone.
Thank you. So, next question would be, is it going to cost me a lot of money?
It doesn't have to, but I think that anything that we really care about, we're willing to spend money on it, and that this is a very high priority. Our children's education is something that we care very much about, and so we're willing to spend money on it. But I wouldn't say that we spend more than, well, maybe $500 to $1,000 a year. Now, this year we bought a set of encyclopedias, so that was a good chunk of it. And I usually tend to buy the teacher's manual for each subject and the workbook and the supplementary materials that are part of that publisher's course, so I don't scrimp. But it's a very small amount of money compared to private school tuition. The biggest cost is the fact that the mother will not be earning an income. If you have a working mom, and then she will be giving up the job to stay home to teach the children, that would be the biggest cost. In our case, that wasn't a cost because I was already committed to staying at home, and we were committed to living on one income. So that wasn't a cost. There are some other savings. For example, your wardrobe, the children's wardrobe, can be simpler. They don't have to have a whole set of school clothes. Lunch money, you can make them homemade lunches, so save some money there. But you have to be willing to spend some money. But if money is really tight, there often are people who can lend materials, you know, whose children are maybe a grade ahead of yours, and they can lend you their last year's materials.
So you can pass down what Nathaniel has used to Elizabeth.
Right.
So except for workbooks or something, can you buy just the workbooks each year that are needed?
We do. So once we order the teacher's manuals and the hardback, say, history book and the teacher's manual that goes with it, then that passes down from year to year. So we might be spending a lot, say, on the oldest child's books, but by the time we get to Hillary, we're spending really very little.
Like clothes, you can hand them down, right?
So there's some real benefits, you see, to having a big family.
It gets cheaper with each
child. It really does.
Uh-huh. Well, keep right on, Robin. Now, what about your husband, Jack? Does he have any part in homeschooling?
He is definitely involved in the whole process. His basic role is to earn the income so that I can be at home with the children. So he is supporting the family financially, which is a very big contribution to the homeschooling enterprise. And I do most of the work as far as the teaching. And that's the way it is in most homeschooling families that I know, although there are definitely families where a dad might take on math or science or an area where he's good at. Jack does help Nathaniel with algebra too, because he, in fact, taught algebra in high school for 1 year. But Jack's role is as support, encouragement, cheerleader, just to affirm me, you know, after I've had a bad day, just to give me encouragement. I think as the chief disciplinarian, or the authority that the children have to answer to ultimately, he is more involved in the domestic routine than he might otherwise be. And he's certainly willing to do dishes and vacuum, and we all get in there and do the work together. And he sets a good example for the kids in that way. He's very modern husband in that regard.
Is your relationship as husband and wife affected in any way, negatively or positively, by the fact that you're homeschooling?
Well, I'd say it varies. I think right now things are going pretty well. I think sometimes it can be a strain if the mom's energies are totally focused on the children and not focused on the husband. So it's important to keep your priorities straight, and that the marriage relationship needs to be, you know, foundational. Well, ultimately, your relationship with God is foundational, but the marriage relationship is first, and then the children after that. We have a very important common task that we're working on, this business of being a family together, raising children, shaping these children with the view of future generations down the line. I don't come from a long godly heritage as you do, but I do have that goal and that vision for future generations. So we share that vision, and we try and encourage one another as we look down the line to children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We hope that they will walk in the ways of the Lord after us.
Would you say your home is child-centered?
Well, I would hope that our home is God-centered. I think that's the goal. And really trying to glorify Christ in what we do. That really is my goal. So if you were just to drop in and see, I would hope it wouldn't be child-centered. I don't think that's especially good for children. I don't think it's good for the home to be centered around just any one individual.
So would you say your priorities are God first and husband second and children third, or do you not try to divide it up?
Like, well, that? That's certainly a nice way of putting it, but I think that we can serve God in serving our children. And it's that daily, as you so well speak, you know, laying down our lives for our children, for our husbands, that ultimately is our service to God, so that I am dedicating my life to God in my service to my family, so that I wouldn't really separate them and saying that this time is for God and this time is for children. It's all of a piece.
Matthew 25:40, inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it for me. Thanks so much, Robin.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.